Good evening.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And it's hour number two here on this very, very weird Thursday. Very strange. It's October. I guess it's the month of the haunting and the Halloweeny and all that. Speaking of that, if you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, this month you have a Halloweeny Pastor William Renick Silver Bullet Special. For those of you signing up for a backstage pass, we got a little treat that we want to stick in your sack, shove right up your Royal American. So go on over there. What?
What does that mean, Royal American?
You know what, Margaret? Every time anybody says anything about shoving something someplace...
Yeah, no kidding. Your idea's all dirty.
I'm tired of hearing it. I won't have it, thank you.
Well, if that's the way we're going to describe it, that's the way we're going to describe it. By the way, we have with us Stephen Bozell. Steve, of course, is part of our Sunday afternoon football coverage, our pro game of the week, along with Ted Bell. He's going to be on with us this hour to discuss events in Washington, D.C. His daughter, April Jr., is there on a field trip with other students from her school, C.K. Corona School, there in Corona, California. So he's going to tell us about the perspective of a family member, the perspective of a father who is, awaiting word from his daughter. Were you worried at all, Steve?
We were checking it out, looking into it, and wondered about it because I love my daughter very much, and I wanted to make sure that she was going to be okay. And, of course, when we heard the activity that had gone on around the White House and the Capitol building, too, I immediately got on the phone. I called individuals that I know in Washington. A dear friend of mine, Claude Heppen, had been relocated there for quite some time. And has been in the building trade in and around Alexandria, Virginia, and Arlington, Virginia, place like that. So I was speaking with him, and we just now did have the confirmation. But it was touch and go. I was very, very concerned, as was her mother.
Well, did you hear from the school at all?
Yeah, we had heard from the school, and they had said to us, as far as they knew, everything was fine. So, well, as far as you know, they said, well, we can't comment on anything that you're saying, except but we think it's pretty clear that...
Well, what were you saying to them?
Well, I had the normal concerns that you would have because of the... Mr. Henry, I had talked to you on your program a couple of times about my daughter, April. April Jr., Excuse me, honey. I said April Jr. My wife is watching the news coverage. My wife's giving me the 1,000-yard stare, I said.
What's going on?
Hold on for a minute. I said April Jr. I didn't say April. I said April Jr. My wife giving me the 1,000-yard stare.
What do you mean your wife's giving you the 1,000-yard stare?
My wife's name is April. My daughter's name is April Jr. When I said April, my wife looked at my stare, and my wife April looked at me and gave me the 1,000-yard stare. And I didn't mean anything by it, honey.
I don't understand what you mean by the 1,000-yard stare, sir.
The 1,000-yard stare, Mr. Henry, you don't know about that.
No, I don't.
Well, if someone gives you the 1,000-yard stare, you better just turn around and walk the other way. Don't look back. Don't look back at all. Don't even try it. Just turn around and go the other way if you get the 1,000-yard stare.
What is the 1,000-yard stare, sir?
Well, I'm not...
Phil, have a little bit of respect.
I apologize.
The 1,000-yard stare is when you're looking right through someone, and you're looking beyond, almost beyond their life into what their life will be when they're not in this dimension, but in another one. In other words, the 1,000-yard stare is a stare that only... that only someone who sees into the great beyond can have. That's all.
And your wife's given you that?
Yeah, she's given it to me because her name is April. My daughter's name is April Jr. I want to get back to what I'm saying, honey. I'm sorry I said it. She's.
What, has your wife been in combat or something?
No, she hasn't. But she grew up in a tough neighborhood and. In any event...
So the 1,000-yard stare...
Phil, the 1,000-yard stare is something that veterans mention. Vietnam veterans and the Gulf and that sort of thing. Okay?
All right.
And it means you've been in combat if you have the 1,000-yard stare because you're looking way down into the tree line and all of that military stuff. Isn't that right?
Yeah, 1,000-yard stare is when you're looking down 1,000 yards.
Well, that's basically what I said.
No, you didn't. You said you're looking into the next world or something.
Well, yeah, you are. If you have a 1,000-yard stare, you're looking well beyond this life. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that ain't what they're saying, so I don't know what... you know, I don't want to talk about this. I want to stick with what it was that we were going to say, and you're telling me about your daughter. Is your daughter all right?
My daughter's okay now, and my daughter is April Jr. Saying that for my wife's benefit, so she's... Damn.
Is she still giving you the thousand-yard stare?
Yes, sir.
Can I talk to her?
Mr. Henry wants to talk. Well, she got up, and she's leaving now. In any event, I apologize, Mr. Henry.
All right, getting back to your daughter who is in Washington, D.C. on a field trip with her school. And what is the field trip about, sir?
Well, it's about seeing the different government buildings and the different monuments, the historical monuments, and the things that you show a little kid, you know, to show them all about the country and everything. And they were having a lot of fun and everything. And according to Darlene Watson, who is Erica Dorton's second-in-command, Ms. Dorton is the headmistress. And I'm almost half expecting a phone call from her right now because I know she's monitoring what I'm saying. And I'm just trying to say, Ms. Dorton, if you're listening, that I'm trying to make sure that April Jr. had nothing. And I want to tell Mr. Henry the story. So what we heard was that there was a woman who tried to ram the security barricade at the White House. I did hear the very early part of your program, Mr. Henry, because I have an app. I have an IHOP app. Not an IHOP, but they call it an IHOP. What's it called? IHOP or
iPhone?
iPhone. Yeah, I got an iPhone. Something with an IHOP. You know what? That is the IHOP. I got an app for the IHOP flapjack runoff. Do you have that at all? Or I probably shouldn't ask you about that, but I was just wondering. Do you ever get that confused?
No, sir. I don't have an IHOP. What is it?
IHOP flapjack off or.
The IHOP flapjack off. What is the...
You know something? When you two grow up, I'll be back.
What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, that's not his fault.
Henry, I'm so very deeply sorry.
No, that's okay. That's all right. So you have an IHOP app?
I have, yeah. The IHOP restaurants have an app, and they're having a flapjack-making contest that they call them flapjack off. I didn't do anything about it.
All right, so be sure to get in on the IHOP flapjack off, which is...
You know something? I'm calling David Hall right now.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that, Margaret. Good luck getting him on the air, huh?
Yeah!
Shut up, bud. So anyway...
Yeah, so anyway, my daughter was fine. And I said at that time, can you be sure? Because I was very, 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 very much thinking that April Jr., God help me for saying this, that April Jr. might have been in that car.
Your daughter?
Yes, sir. I think there was that split second I thought she was driving.
And why would you think that, sir?
Given some of the statements that she'd been making coming home from school, she said that the Congress had not passed the law.
Well, you know that this car tried to first attack the White House.
Yes, sir.
The White House is where Barack Obama lives, and the White House would be a place that anyone who is upset with the Congress would not be necessarily targeting.
Well, that's not my understanding. My daughter's very liberal, and she believes in... Well, okay, yeah, she does. She believes in Barack Obama, and you're saying that he wouldn't be attacked by her.
Not if she believes in him, no.
Okay, all right, I should have known that, but I'm glad you're clarifying now.
Yeah, so you worried that your daughter was driving that car, and because she wanted to attack Congress, she ran it right into the back door there of the White House?
I felt that that's where Congress was. I didn't know that Obama lived there. I thought he lived in the Capitol, and that's my mistake, and I do apologize, and I thank God in heaven now, obviously...
Did you think that the president lived in the Capitol?
I thought that the president lived in the Capitol, yes, sir. I think it's... I don't know that a lot of people, you know, familiar one way or the other. I mean...
The president lives in the White House.
Yeah, I know that, Mr. Henry. You said that. I don't think there's any kind of big deal talking to me like...
Well, I don't think it's something that people often get wrong. Of all the things that we do get wrong in this world, I'm pretty sure that most people believe the president, know the president lives in the White House, and that the Capitol is where the Congress meets.
Well, okay, maybe. But I said when that woman attacked, I thought that was my daughter going after the Congress.
Attacking the White House.
With the yeah. And when I found out that it wasn't my daughter,
I just got done talking to April Jr. April on the phone, and I did talk to April Jr. They're both fine. April is very worried now that her husband is beginning to show signs of some sort of mental fatigue. So, Steve, your wife would like you off the phone right now.
I got a couple more things that I've got.
All right, we're going to put him on hold, okay?
That's a very good idea.
We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. He's obviously very distressed, is Mr. Bozell, finding out that finally and thankfully and gratefully that his daughter was not somehow engaged or otherwise mixed up in all of this stuff. He thought that she was. He thought that because his daughter is quite liberal and very much anti the actions of the Congress, he felt that his daughter might have been trying to target the Congress because he thought the Congress was in the White House and that the president lives in the Capitol building. And now I just straightened him out, and now he feels real good.
Yeah, that's pretty good then, huh?
Then why do I feel real bad about all of this? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. There's radio, and then there's Phil.
Woo!
World famous Phil Henry Show, and with us is not only Stephen Bozell, we have, you're lining up that call, right?
Yeah, we gotta get the phone call coming up.
We got Stephen Bozell, and really what we're lining up here is a call received by Mr. Bozell at his home this afternoon. And it was one that was you were expecting, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
And this was a call from the headmistress of C.K. Corona School, where your daughter goes to school.
Yes, sir.
And why were you expecting that call?
Because I had said to news media, as I'm saying to you now, I was worried that my daughter, April, was somehow, or April Jr., I'm saying, honey, I said April Jr., I made a mistake. My wife is in the room right now, Mr. Henry, giving me the 1,000-yard stare.
Okay, look, you're going to have to tell your wife to get out of the room then, because it's been distracting you now ad nauseum here for the last half hour, giving you the 1,000-yard stare, okay?
Mr. Henry said you have to go. Yeah, she's...
And I don't get this 1,000-yard stare. You're going to have to tell me about it at a later date, not now.
All right, well, I said that I felt my daughter might be mixed up somehow in this nonsense, and I said to them it's probably a big misunderstanding, and if you could just get me on the phone with my daughter. And they said, who is she? I said, I believe she's driving the car that attacked the rear entry of the White House, and I said, my daughter's a big supporter of President Obama. They laughed and had all kinds of, you know, I heard laughter and ha ha ha, and it was all a big misunderstanding, and then they hung up on me. So that's why I called you, and you've since explained, sir, that the Obama presidency is residing in the White House, which is, my daughter likes him, and the Congress is in the Capitol. And certainly at that particular time, you know, I thought it was a different ballgame, and I do apologize.
All right, so let's go to this phone call that you monitored coming into your home. You believe this comes from Erica Dorton, is that correct?
We believe this comes from Erica Dorton, who is the headmistress. I'll land the call up now. Yeah, I think your engineer has it.
So, Bud, you play the call, and Steve will intro it.
Okay. Roger, I think. Received this afternoon at 2222222.
Okay, so what I heard there, Mr. Bozell, is what I've heard, and Margaret, you can jump in if I'm wrong, what I've heard many times before.
Yes, Steve, we have heard this phone call before, received at your home.
Okay, so what does that mean? I'm being, like, boring or something?
No, you're not being boring, but we're wondering, what do you want us to do? That.
What I want you to do is take note of the fact that this is the headmistress of my daughter's school, and she's calling my home and breathing into the phone. Like she's something out of Hellraiser.
Well, I can tell you're worried about it, sir, but I'm not exactly sure what we can do. What I would recommend you do is you call law enforcement.
I would call law enforcement, and I was going to call law enforcement, but is that the same law enforcement that I just saw pull weapons on what I thought was my daughter and turn her into a piece of Swiss cheese? It wasn't my daughter. Okay, that much is true. You got me on that. It wasn't my daughter and had nothing to do with what my daughter was doing, but still in all, I call law enforcement, and the next thing you know, they show up at my house, and just as pretty as you please, they say, hey, why do we even want to mess with this fool? Let's just go ahead and skin that smoke wagon. And next thing you know, I'm done. Man.
Are you afraid of the police?
No, sir, I'm not afraid of the police, but I am afraid of the federal authorities and what they can do with cameras, booby traps.
Okay, so you're one of these Alex Jones freaks, and you're paranoid of everything. Is that it?
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, do you listen to Alex Jones?
I don't listen to him, but I listen to you, Mr. Henry, to try to get the news and information that I need. Okay?
All right, but so what is it with you and cops and the paranoia that you got, and you got this woman breathing into a phone? I don't even know if that's Erica Dorton.
Believe you me.
So that is the headmistress at your daughter's school. So the question, of course, is why are you putting up with that? Why don't you pull your daughter from that school?
Because it's one of the top schools in the country. Because my daughter qualifies for a head, big head kid, not big head, but my daughter's a very advanced species. She's one of the advanced kids, you know.
All right, so your daughter is entitled to a level of education, shall we say, accorded to kids that are gifted, that are part of these advanced programs, and I understand that, and I don't begrudge her that. But to have her in a school with someone like this Dorton, who is calling your home, here's the call again.
I recorded that part there. What about that?
What about what?
Well, the caller is going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's Dorton saying, you have pissed me off, and now all bets are off, okay?
What have you pissed Dorton off with?
Because I said that my daughter may be a part of a...
And so Dorton thinks that that's... What are you, ripping the lid off of something over there at CK Corona? You'd called my show once before, sir, complaining about this woman. Your daughter wasn't involved in this at all. Okay, and we can get Jay Santos on from the Citizens Auxiliary Police if you want. Don Mixa, who is also involved in the Department of Engineering at the University of Washington, but also does some security consulting. We can have him on. We could bring back General Galen Shaw. There's all kinds of things we could do, but I doubt very seriously if any of that is going to have any effect on you, because you seem hell-bent on finding some mysterious plot here. And I think that that's very, very unfortunate. Let me get...
Well, sir, I think you're reading this thing all wrong. I think from the very beginning until the very last chapter, you've needed glasses on this. I swear to God, Mr. Henry, I don't know why you're going blind, but it might have something to do with, you know, a little late night, and everything like, growing hair on your palm. I don't know.
Oh, is that right? Well, no, it has nothing to do with that. Let me get, who do we have on the line here? Don Mixa from the University of Washington is joining us. Don, good to have you with us. What do you make of this?
Well, I don't know what really to say to Mr. Boswell. I would say, sir, that you've got an overactive imagination, sir. It's to the best of my knowledge.
Oh, I've got an overactive imagination?
No, sir, I said you have an overactive imagination. I said you had overactive...
I know what you mean, but I don't believe that I had an overactive, overactive imagination when I seen what I seen today, as thousands of Americans did.
I don't think you did either, sir. I saw the very same things that you saw, but I can tell you that what happened today in Washington, D.C. was part and parcel, I think, of mental illness. And mental illness on the part of a woman that lives in Stamford, Connecticut, had nothing to do with your daughter or any kind of plot against Obama.
Well, I hope you're right, because when you have the headmistress of your school calling you up and breathing into the phone like she's something straight out of a Suspiria or some kind of Dario Argento Italian horror gore fest.
I'm very familiar with Dario Argento's films. I think they're fantastic films, but I don't think it has anything to do with this.
And please don't laugh at me, please. Please don't laugh at me, please.
Okay, well, Phil, I would say that this gentleman has nothing to worry about, and that's just speaking from the standpoint of security consultant at the University of Washington.
Okay, Don, thank you very much.
Go back.
So, Steve, that's Don Mixa, who does some security commentary for us here. I recognize that probably may not completely assuage your fears, but I think once your daughter is home, and unless there's something you want to tell us, unless there's something that you fear having to do with your daughter, unless you know what I'm saying?
Well, I would just tell you that my daughter is very politically active. I would never suspect my daughter, but when I see a car screaming down the street, okay, and just basically saying to any cop with a gun, yeah, go ahead and go ahead and you just go ahead and try it, okay? Go ahead and give me the 1,000-yard stare. You think I care? The first person I think of is my daughter, and the second person I think of is my wife.
Well, I would say that you've got a problem there.
Well, you better believe it.
Well, I mean, I'm saying you got a problem, like get them into a psychiatrist or something.
Well...
Right, hold on, Steve, or not hold on, get law. I don't know, are we holding him on?
We holding him on.
Is he going to be... No, I think we're done with him. All right, thank you very much, Mr. Bozell, for being a member of our fantastic guest corps here this evening. Wow. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We will be right back, y'all. That's right. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That's exactly what they're saying all over Washington, all over America, all over the world, all over me, and you. And we'll be at the L.A. Podfest on Saturday. I've just gotten official word on where to go, what to do, and how to do it, because I didn't know, man, you know.
Well, what didn't you know?
I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to turn the microphone on. I'm kidding, but I...
Is there somebody going to teach you?
I know how to turn a microphone on, okay? Bobby Dooley is going to be there, and I have to escort her. And you know how she gets. She sweats and starts shaking in her boots, and then she asks for Steve, and then she starts to have palpitations, and then she wants a shot of something, man, and I'm not sure that what she wants a shot of, A, I'll have on me, or B, it's covered by, you know, health insurance, or C, it's even legal. So... You know, we got ourselves some problems. So we're going to be at the L.A. Podfest on Saturday at 4 with Bobby Dooley. And Bobby will be interviewing the founder, the very main man with the master plan of the L.A. Podfest, Graham Elwood. She will be interviewing him.
Now, is he an A-list? And I don't mean to be rude.
Yes, he's A-list. What do you mean, is he A-list?
Well, don't you want to have an A-list? You know, you had Patty Arquette, Joel McHale... Craig Bierko, you had some big stars. Henry Rollins. And now you have who?
You know, excuse me, Margaret. Okay?
Don't put your hand in my face.
I didn't put my hand in your face.
But you're like going, excuse me,
Dude, you put your hand in my face. I didn't put my hand in her face.
Well, you put your hand up like this.
Hey, Robert, don't do that, okay? I can smell... Oh, God, man. What have you been eating, anyway?
You're having gorgonzola.
You were having gorgonzola. Did you get it from Margaret?
I gave them each a slice. Big wow.
Ooh! It smells like someone took a dump in his hand.
How did... That is grade A gorgonzola. You know what? You wish the day is going to come when you get a mouthful of that.
Yeah!
Never mind.
Yeah, I hope I get a mouthful of gorgonzola. Smells like hell, man. What is it with cheese, anyway, you know? Cheese is... I love cheese, don't get me wrong. But I'm not really a big fan of cheese that smells like it fell out of a goat's ass. Pardon me, but I'm just not, you know? I like cheese that's, you know, moderately... I like blue cheese. I guess some people would say it smells like that, you know?
Yeah, blue cheese, man, that smells like it fell out of a goat's rear end.
Yeah, that does.
Okay, I get it about a goat's rear end. All right, blue cheese is probably the one cheese that I do like that stinks, but the cheese, my favorite cheese of all is just good old sharp cheddar cheese, man.
Well, what makes you think that smells good?
Sharp cheddar? What's wrong with the way that smells?
Oh, cheddar cheese. I thought you were talking about the kind that...
Well, what kind are you thinking of?
The other, is it yellow or is it...
Cheddar cheese is yellow, yeah. I like that. I like Swiss cheese.
Well, Swiss cheese doesn't smell like anything.
Why does it have to smell like something, man? I mean, that's what I like. I don't like any cheese that stinks to high heaven, man, like it's something you want to flush rather than eat. I'm just not into that. Some very rare kind, you know, like Roquefort, I dig that. Okay, yeah, you know.
Well, anybody's going to like a Roquefort cheese on account of Roquefort dressing.
Yeah, that's where that's from, right?
Yes, Roquefort dressing is made with Roquefort cheese. Wow.
Well, they don't know.
Wow.
Take it easy, Margaret.
Well, don't tell me to take it easy. Now you're extolling the virtues of cheese. And a moment ago, I offered you, and I made this myself, the onion, red onion, and gorgonzola Margaret Gray special, and you turned your nose up at it as if it had just dropped out of my rear end.
Isn't that what you did?
Yes, I did.
Well, I won't take that, excuse me for saying it, I won't take that sitting down. So.
All right. I think we can now move into the adult phase of the show. Welcome back. And again, our thanks to Stephen Bozell and his family. It was a tough day. And what I saw, and I'll just say what I saw and tell me if you saw something different, but I saw from the videotape, I saw a woman, I saw a car. I didn't see anybody. I saw a car, and I'm assuming there was somebody in it because the car was moving. And I saw no less than five, I'm assuming, police officers, because I saw four uniforms and one plainclothes, pull weapons and point them directly at the car. Now, unless I'm missing my guess, the person inside that car saw the guns. And unless I'm missing a further guess, the person inside that car recognized them as police officers. Now, if they didn't, there's one of two explanations. They had trouble with their vision, or they were mentally disturbed and didn't really know what it was they were looking at. But either way, the person in the car, rather than putting their hands up, putting their hands on the wheel, putting their hands on the dash, making some move that would indicate to those cops that they are not a threat to them and the police could continue opening the door, which I think they were trying to do. One of them had his hand on the door, and all of a sudden the car backed up very sharply, and I heard the person that was making the video recording let out with a whoa or a woo or some exclamatory expression like that, which indicated, wow, that was a shocking move. The car backs up and then wheels to the right, its right, as these guns are still drawn and still pointed at the car, and you can see the cops' mouths moving, so you're having to assume they're saying something like, stop the car, get out of the car, cut the engine or something. And the car keeps going. Now, I've talked to cops. I'm not a cop, but I've talked to cops. Cops will tell you that there are certain situations where deadly force becomes not just an option, but it's almost a have to. It's because you don't know anymore. You don't know what's going to happen. You've got to drop this person because you don't know, man. You don't know what you're dealing with any longer. Now, one of them is a felony offender who has escaped from prison. You have to assume that that person is dangerous and you are prepared to kill, basically. Shoot to kill. This guy's a escaped from prison. He's a felony offender. He has, the dude is dangerous. You got to kill him. And there are others where the person has a weapon, where there is there's been a hostage, where someone has already been killed, so you know that the individual has taken a life, and so you have to assume that they're going to do it again, and you have to stop them from doing that. And a situation where they have already assaulted somebody in an effort, it looks like, to kill them or to do them serious bodily harm, and you have to stop them from doing that again. And in that instance today, when that woman backed that car up, refused to go along with what the cops were asking, refused to surrender, and in fact, in the face of all of those guns drawn on her, was wheeling this car around wildly and then sped off down the street, that's another instance. Instance when there has to be an assumption by the cops that this is somebody that's out of control, and if you don't stop them, they're gonna hurt somebody if they haven't already. Now, the cop that got hurt today, there's a piece of videotape that you could. Did you see that, Bud?
Yeah, the guy, he's tearing down a street and went right in. The car just exploded.
Well, it looked like it exploded, man, but it hit one of them things.
Yeah, it does look like it just comes apart, but what in fact happened, the guy's hauling ass down Pennsylvania Avenue, and he's leaving, I'm thinking here, and don't quote me, but I'm thinking he's leaving a part of Pennsylvania Avenue where vehicle traffic is allowed, and he's now entering that part of Pennsylvania Avenue where only pedestrian traffic is allowed, and he hit those metal stanchions that separate those areas where automobile traffic is and those areas where it's exclusively pedestrian traffic. And you've seen them. They're parked in the ground. They are the foundation is pure concrete and cement and rebar. I mean, those suckers are in for life, man. And they I don't know what it takes to bend one of those things back or otherwise uproot one of them, but brother, it takes a hell of a lot more than a car going 60 or 80 miles an hour, because that's exactly what happened with that cop car today. That dude, that poor man, you know, I'm glad he's okay. I mean, the guy forgot. It looked to me like he completely spaced. And he was just hauling ass. He said, I'm going to just maybe take a shortcut here. I don't know what he was thinking, but boom, right into those metal barriers, you know. And guess what, man? It was a, the car was like totaled. It was just totaled. And fortunately, that officer was taken from that car, and he was put on a stretcher, and he was medevaced out of there. You saw that chopper land on the Capitol Mall, and I heard people saying on TV today, that's the first time in memory they've ever seen anything like that. They've never seen a helicopter land on the Capitol Mall, ever. Now, I don't know if that's an actual fact, if a chopper has never landed on the Capitol Mall. I can tell you, I was in Washington, D.C. in 1987 on the 4th of July. If anybody was there on the 4th of July in 87, you may remember some fireworks that went astray. They usually have a fireworks display on the Capitol Mall, at least they did up until that time. And on that night, I was there with several thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people, and we saw these fireworks, and one of them was went awry somehow and landed in the crowd. And did injure some people. I don't know if there was any serious injury. I don't think so. But it did suspend for a while the display until they were able to get people out of there. And I don't know how they got people out of there. They might very well have brought a chopper in, or they might not have, because, you know, with that many people, how do you get all those people cleared out of there? How do you tell people we got a helicopter coming and everybody back up when you're literally dealing with tens of thousands of people? So maybe that wasn't the case. But today they had a chopper land and they got that police officer in, and he got out of there, and I hear he's okay. So,
well, I just think that the whole thing could have been avoided had that woman not been a blithering idiot. And I think there's something that needs to be discussed there.
What are you talking about?
What's that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean? In other words...
Well, what do you mean it could have been avoided had she not been a blithering idiot?
Yeah, well, I know what you mean.
Yeah, he knows.
Well, isn't that nice? So she's a blithering... How do you avoid that?
By her not being a... By her not being a blithering idiot. What do you think I mean?
Well, we'll work on that.
Yeah, you do that.
Where are you going?
I'm going to have a Roy Tan cigar, if it's any of your business.
When did she start smoking cigars?
I don't know. I went out and got a box of White Owl, got a box of Dutch Master, and Roy Tan. She rotated between the three.
Yeah, she won't smoke anything else.
So in other words, Margaret, you're just smoking turds these days, huh?
I beg your pardon?
Nothing. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com as we continue on here this evening. Whoa. Talking about the events of the day, the events of the week, the events of the year, man. Who knows? All kinds of stuff going on. We'll take a little bit deeper look into the news when we get back here. And don't forget, on Sunday, it is the Pro Game of the Week with Ted Bell and Steve Bozell at 1:30 on Phil TV at philhenryshow.com. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and we've got some political news to talk about here. And don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com, and of course, 855-500-7445. I know Larry Grover is standing by, Jack Armstrong is with us. We got some political news from the great state of Texas, to that story, let's talk to Larry. We also do, as I mentioned, we do have Jack Armstrong standing by. Larry, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great, Bill, and I want to lend my voice to the many others saying kudos to our Capitol Police in keeping everybody safe today. That was a very unfortunate situation, and we certainly hope that and it does not reoccur.
All right, we're going to talk about a new candidate for governor in Texas, Wendy Davis.
All right, that was not my understanding.
I'm sorry?
That was...
I told you...
Okay, hold on for a minute. Did you know that we were going to talk about Wendy Davis?
No, I did not. I thought that we were going to continue talking about the bailout. and I had specifically said that I didn't want to talk. Well?
Okay.
Well, I know a little bit about what this is about. Get Jack on,
No, I don't think you do know. I don't think you do know. If you'll pardon me, Ms. Gray, I think it's a little presumptuous of you to say that you do know.
Can we,
Get Jack Armstrong. I'm not going to comment right now, Larry.
You're not going to comment right now. See, the reason why I came on here...
Jack Armstrong. Hold on, Larry. Jack Armstrong from Minneapolis. Jack, how are you?
Hey, Phil. Really good. How are you doing?
Good.
So, you talk about Wendy Davis, huh, Larry?
All right. I said that I wasn't going to talk about anything other than this. And so what I will... anything other than the bailout, okay? And so what I will do now... very gracefully say good night.
Okay, Larry, if you don't want to talk about something because of a personal problem you have, that's okay.
No, I don't have a personal problem, and I want to say that I think it's unfair...
excuse me, it's, Larry...
I think it's unfair for me to be ambushed like this.
Larry, were you not told that you were going to be on the air to talk about Wendy Davis getting into the Texas governor race?
I was not told that I would be talking about Wendy Davis. They said that I would be talking about the Texas governor race along with the other issues having to do with Washington, D.C., okay?
Well, Philly, sooner or later you thought to have to talk to Larry about Wendy Davis because I think it's pretty juicy.
Oh, boy, juicy.
It's pretty juicy.
All right, well, hold on. Whoa, man, because I don't want to get into a whole thing here. What's going on? Margaret, can you tell me?
Yes, I can certainly tell you. And I think, Larry, it would do you a lot of good to just go ahead and get it out in the open because...
How did I get ambushed, okay? No, my friend, you are not ambushed. No one ambushed you, okay?
Excuse me, you're not booking the show. Mr. Henry's booking the show.
Hold on for a minute. Margaret, what happened?
Well, we told Larry we wanted him on to talk about the Texas governor race and to talk about the standstill in Washington, D.C., I did not mention Wendy Davis because I knew that Larry would say no if I mentioned Wendy Davis. But I did say that, wait, Larry, if you'll hold on for a minute.
You know, you just admitted to the fact that you ambushed me. And, you know, Margaret, I'm sorry for the joke, but when I say you ambushed, and I'm talking about you, there's a lot of bush. And I'm sorry to put it crudely, you know, because... But this is what you earn.
No, I'm not surprised that you would say something as vile and as grotesque as that, because that's the kind of impotent and a closeted homosexual that you are.
Is that right? And if I hung the phone up, Mr. Henry, does that mean that I'm some kind of an impotent guy?
Yeah, it would to me, Larry. You know, you took the stand in. I don't think the lady was fair when she said that.
I will say it again, Ms. Gray. You bring a lot of bush.
All right. You know, that is about as juvenile as it gets, okay?
It doesn't surprise me that he's talking that way.
Well, then why would you do this to me?
Hold on, Larry. Did you agree to talk about the Texas governor race?
Mr. Henry, Ms. Gray knows, as does Mr. Armstrong, that I do not have any desire to talk about Wendy Davis.
Wait a minute. That's not what I'm asking you. Did you agree to talk about the Texas governor race?
I agreed to talk about the Texas governor race. Had I known that Wendy Davis was involved in it...
Hold on for a minute now. Hold on, pal. Because it seems to me that you agreed to do... Now, if you want to leave, you can leave. But the question is now in the minds of every one of my listeners, what's wrong with you talking about Wendy Davis? That's the question.
Absolutely, my friend. And you know something, Larry? I'm on your side on this one.
That is the biggest lie. Armstrong, you can't wait for me to lose...
Look, Larry, I'm a friend of yours, okay?
No, you can't wait for me to be... Have my balls...
Oh, boy, if you start bawling like a bitch, I tell you...
I'm not bawling like a bitch. I'm saying to Mr. Henry, I will be on your show. I'll talk about the Texas governor race, but I want to be very clear on what happened, and I resent what Mr. Armstrong just said.
Yeah, I don't like the ball like a bitch thing.
Well, would you tell him about the fact I don't like being accused of bringing a lot of bush?
You're the one that told me that you don't shake...
Okay!
Well, she did.
Okay. You know something? I'm going to give everybody their wish. I'm going to hang the phone up on everybody. I'm going to kick everybody out of the studio. I'll finish doing this show by myself tonight, and I will very seriously consider doing this show by myself forevermore. Okay? Unless we get a little bit of cooperation around here. Now,
I don't like being threatened.
Well, that's exactly what I just did.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah? Uh-huh. And what?
Nothing.
Okay. What's the story with Wendy Davis?
What's the story with Wendy Davis? You asking me that?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to talk about that. I told that to Margaret Bush Gray, and...
You're going to have to cool that.
I'll walk out of this studio before you throw me out.
Cool it, okay?
I want to go out. Didn't you say that to me, though?
I will walk out of this studio if you continue to talk about that.
God.
All right. Wendy Davis...
I'm going to tell you something right now. No, come on, Jack. He's asking me. Okay.
All right, I got a minute left now.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I got a minute left. I'll hold everybody over.
Yeah, right.
I got him. It's exactly what I'm going to do.
Well, what are you looking at me for?
I'm looking at everybody here to behave themselves because we're going to pick up with this on the other side of the news break, and I want everybody cooperating with me. I don't want a lot of arguing. I want a lot of people telling me how they would do things. We're going to move on. Now, there's a reason why this guy doesn't want to talk about Wendy Davis, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well, yes, there is.
Okay, fine. And we're going to find out what that reason is when we come back here on the other side of the news on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And don't forget online at philhenryshow.com, 5,000 hours of archived audio, some of the greatest history, greatest radio in the history of man on this planet, and, of course... we have our pro football game of the week on Sunday. Coming back, it's Larry Grover, Jack Armstrong, and Margaret Gray and others, The Phil Henry Show.
Woo!